Today's passage comes from the Old Testament, one of the Old Testament books, Ezekiel chapter 34. We'll read from the beginning to verse 24. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened. Nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. And I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, Indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick, and I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters, that you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with the side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." So the last part is very crucial. It's a messianic promise. David, I will explain in the sermon, of course, is the son of David, Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I was a teenager, there was one time I had an opportunity to go on a trip. It's called a mission trip. They call it a mission trip to New Mexico in the States. It was a long trip, but it was a long trip to go there, get there. But it was kind of a short trip, about 2 weeks. It was a mission work done by a missionary in New Mexico. The place where we went in the New Mexico was highly elevated area. It was very dry, and it was a desert. You know, and it was more like a conservation area for the natives, the native Indians. So the missionary who was working among the Navajo Indians, and Navajo is one of the natives in the States. And at the end of the mission trip, the natives showed us their hospitality by serving us a lamb, the whole lamb. There were about 20 of us, and they slaughtered a few of the lambs, and then that was actually my first time that I ever had lamb. The eating part was great, but although the meat was tough, but the difficult part, I tell you, was watching the natives, showing us, it was part of hospitality, I guess, showing us how to prepare the meal, the whole thing. They showed us everything. They had to slaughter the lamb first and skin the lamb. And then it was something that we, bunch of teenagers who grew up in the city, who always enjoyed bacon on the table without really questioning how the meat is produced, which involves something called butchering the animal. But for us, it was a very shocking moment. The kids, including myself, did not know that first they had to drain the whole blood into the pit, and then that involves with some gruesome cutting. And then the sound was real. You can hear the heart pumping, the blood. You can still remember that. And we all had to watch the whole process of the killing and the preparing, skinning, and all that. So again, these kids never seen something like that before. Some girls could not watch, but yet, nevertheless, later they enjoyed a meal anyway. While that was happening, I remember the teacher spoke to us. You know, the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who was slain for our sins. And that is true. And then there was a reason why they made us to watch the whole thing. Revelation 12 verse 5, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom." But wait a minute. Yes, it is true that the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who was slain. Right? John the Baptist, John chapter 1, 29, he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But at the same time, yes, it is true that he is the Lamb. But at the same time, isn't it also true that the Bible says he is a shepherd? John chapter 10 verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Here's the theme and the points. The prophet Ezekiel warns against the shepherds of Israel. First point, they were negligent, neglecting, irresponsible shepherds. Second point, the last part is very important, last part of the portion that we read, Ezekiel 34, the true shepherd, a son of David, who laid down his life. So we are going to see the two shepherds, the shepherds of Israel. Who are they? Second, the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at Ezekiel 34. So Ezekiel 34 kind of explains how come the scripture says Jesus is the Lamb of God, at the same time, shepherd. So let's look at Ezekiel 34 in a nutshell. It talks about, as I said, two groups of shepherds. Irresponsible shepherds and the true shepherds. These irresponsible shepherds, the flock was scattered, but by one shepherd, later the Lord is established in Ezekiel 34, the Lord promises that he will gather all those sheep who were scattered. So, Ezekiel 34 begins with a strong warning which the Lord gives to the people of Israel, or shepherds of Israel. Verse 1, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Why is the Lord speaking against the shepherds of Israel? Well, it's straightforward in verse 1. Because the shepherds were supposed to take care of the flock. Instead, the shepherds were feeding themselves. Well, what are they supposed to do? Well, shepherds, they must tend the flock. They have to take good care of the sheep. Verse 3, you eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Once again, you do not feed the flock. The Lord goes into specific issues in verse 4. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back the what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. So apparently there were sheep, there were some of the sheep were sick, they didn't care. The sheep has a broken leg, you have to bound it up so that it can heal and walk again, they didn't care. You must bring back what was driven away. Very interesting expression, driven away. Driven away by whom? We're going to look at that later. Well, actually in a flock, sometimes what happens is that when two animals are not getting along each other, one being mean to another, then you have to separate them because one animal will drive away the other. That's one case. Or sometimes a shepherd has to isolate the bully out of the flock. And at the end of the day, that once the bully comes down, then you take it back to the flock. So it's a temporary adjustment, not a permanent. But I guess the shepherd did not bring back, maybe because the shepherd did not feel like it, or the shepherd did not like the particular sheep. Another expression, the shepherd did not go out to seek the lost. So there are two types, driven away somehow, or lost. Well, sometimes you lose animals. Some animals are smart, some animals are silly by their nature. My dad had many dogs, and then some of them were smart, and the one or two were very stupid, didn't know how to get home by themselves, and you have to go out there and find them. You have to seek the lost, but the shepherd didn't do that. So they neglected them. Instead, later we see the Lord accuses them by saying, you ruled them with force and cruelty. You ruled over them. You didn't care about their well-being, but instead you only care about your own well-being or your own reputation, your own pride. and as a result you harmed them. Verse 6. So, what happens? As a result, my sheep scattered, wandered through all the mountains, on every high hill. They were scattered and no one was seeking or searching for them. My flock became food for a wild beast in the field. In the middle of verse 8, therefore no shepherd nor did my shepherds search for my flock. So, this is what the Lord is going to do. So in a nutshell, what he's going to do is he's going to fire them. He's going to depose them. All the shepherds are fired because they devour the sheep rather than taking a good care of them. That's what Ezekiel 34 says. I will stop them from feeding themselves with the flock. All the shepherds will feed themselves no more. I will deliver my flock from their mouth. Now, here's the question. Now, that's a very serious warning. So who is this irresponsible shepherds that Ezekiel 34 is talking about? There's been a debate among the biblical scholars. Who are these shepherds? Obviously, we know what the flock represents, people of God, covenant people. Well, some scholars said it's the kings and priests at the time, which is true. I'll tell you later why people think that way. Or some say the false prophets and false teachers of the people. Or some people said, no, it's just the government, the kings at the time. Well, cross-reference to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, I'll read it to you quickly. Strikingly, Jeremiah 23 uses the same expression here. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Woe to the shepherds, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord. Jeremiah 23. Now, in the context of Jeremiah 23, the shepherds seems to refer to the kings and princes at the time. Not priests and prophets or false prophets. So in Jeremiah's time, the civil authorities, the wicked kings, and the authorities of Israel did terrible things to the people. There was a perversion of justice. Orphans and widows were neglected. Poor people were neglected. And it was mainly because a wicked king and the government. But however, we must not take the term shepherds in our passage and think as if it only applies to the kings and the government. That is true in Jeremiah 23, and that is true, we're going to look at Luke 15, that is true also in a New Testament time, because the Pharisees and scribes, they were in the ruling position. But we also have to understand that this also, the shepherds, means it also applies to the priests and the prophets, and especially the religious leaders. Let's go to Luke chapter 15, if you can open your Bible. Luke chapter 15. Very famous passage, parable. So I'll just go skim through them. From verse 1 to verse 7. You see the context here. The tax collectors, the sinners drew near to him to hear him. They were glad to hear him. And there were also Pharisees and the scribes. And they were complaining, well, this man, this rabbi is eating and talking with sinners and the tax collectors. And then when Jesus heard that, he spoke this parable to them, saying, of course, both audiences, tax collectors, sinners, and Pharisees and scribes. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and then go after one which is lost until he finds it? You can see that there's a resemblance of the language from the Ezekiel 34. Wilderness, lost. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." I say to you likewise, that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So, again, I'd like to ask you to pay attention to the context in which Jesus spoke this parable. Verse 1, tax collectors, sinners, came to him to listen to his preaching. And also there were Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees and scribes, they saw the tax collectors and sinners and said, with grumbling voice, you can imagine, "Oh, this man receives the sinners and eats with them." Jesus spoke parable of the lost sheep to them. Them. The first audience, the Pharisees and the scribes. This parable was meant for them. Those religious leaders who despise the tax collectors and sinners, thus imply the message of the parable. These sinners and the tax collectors, they are the lost sheep that you have to seek and search. You Pharisees and scribes, you who are religious leaders of Israel, you are the shepherds. You are supposed to bring them back, bound up the broken and heal the sick and feed the flock. Jesus warned in Mark 12, verse 40, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around the long ropes," fancy ropes. He loves greeting in the public places. He would like to sit in the best seats in the synagogues, best places in the feast. He wants to be recognized in the church. Beware of those who are proud in church, who likes to be honored by others, likes to draw attention to themselves, like the scribes who like to make long prayers, but they devour the widows' houses. And right after this parable, the highlight, the prodigal son, the first son of the story, who was jealous, grumpy that his lost brother came home. It's pretty clear that the first son refers to the Pharisees and the scribes. In Luke chapter 15, take a careful look at what Jesus said. Verse 4. "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them?" Now, if you can, open your Bible to Matthew 18. We'll do a little Bible study here. Matthew 18, verse 12. Same story, slightly changed. We're going to take a look at that. Matthew 18, verse 12, Jesus is asking you, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek that one that is straying? There is a little difference between Luke chapter 15 and Matthew 18. I don't know if you caught that. That is, Luke says, if you lose one of them, the word lose was used. The sheep, the lost sheep, emphasis on the word lost. Whereas Matthew says, if one of them goes astray. So there's differences. So some people ask, what's going on? Which story do you think is right? Well, they're both right. Jesus probably spoke the same story more than twice in the different places. He changed a bit here and there to give a specific lesson to specific groups of people. Let me explain how that works. Matthew 18, which uses the word stray goes, one of them goes astray. The main point is, in the context of Matthew, how the Lord, the Son of God, came to seek the lost. The kingdom of God is at hand. He came to search for the lost. The emphasis is on the foolish nature of the sheep. How the Son of Man, although we are so foolish, how the Son of Man restores us and comes after us. There are 100 the sheep. One of them went astray. Stupid sheep. Stupid. But wait a minute. That's me. I like to go astray. Despite my stupidness, the Lord searches for me. We are all like a sheep, have gone astray, Isaiah 53, verse 6. But the Lord placed our iniquity on the suffering servant. As a result, the Lord said, strike the shepherd that the sheep may be scattered, Zechariah 13, which is fulfilled when Jesus was arrested. Now, Luke 15 has a different emphasis. There are 100 sheep. It doesn't say one went astray, but Jesus said, you, the subject, you lost one. So who is you here? It's the shepherds of Israel, the Pharisees and the scribes. It's your fault, Jesus says. Woe to you, the shepherds of Israel. You rule them with the cruelty, not with mercy and grace. That is the emphasis of Luke chapter 15, which is a little bit different from Matthew 18. Another interesting note that I like to bring in this parable is this. Notice that shepherds, he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and he goes after the lost one. You may think the shepherd is reckless. How can he leave the majority of his flock in the wilderness, possibly exposed to the danger, and to seek the lost one? But here's the lesson. Here's the hidden lesson. You see, the flock, as long as they stay together, stay tight, they're safe. The missing flock who goes astray, he is the one who is in deep trouble. It is a lot easier for savage wolves to attack the one sheep that is away from the flock. And it's the same with the God's covenant community. Stay together. Don't go astray. Make sure where's the lost one. Make sure that help the lost one to go back to the flock where the safety is. The Holy Spirit brings the people together. That's where you belong. Even when the shepherd left us, the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, he ascended to heaven. He's not physically present with us, but he sends his Holy Spirit to guide us, to gather us together, to form a strong flock. So, the Holy Spirit gives us desire to stick together as a congregation so that we can stand together against the vicious attacks of wild beast, namely Satan. So, that is why the work of church leaders are crucial. This is why the works of the whole church community is very important. So what are the things that we can learn? Well, I'll mention that briefly again later. The work of the Lord, he desires to gather his people to one place. The work of Satan is all about scattering the sheep. Let's go to the second point, the true shepherds. So, to these corrupt and proud shepherds of Israel, the Lord declares, verse 11, for thus says the Lord, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. as I said briefly. In other words, you're not doing your job. You will be fired. Instead, I will do it. I myself will go out there to search for my sheep, and I will bring them back. Verse 14, all the things that you failed to do, I will do them. Seek the lost, bring back what was driven away, bind up broken, strengthen what was sick. Verse 15, I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down. Psalm 23 language. Verse 16, I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away. Again, very important language. Driven away. What was lost? As I said, some sheep were driven away by the shepherds. Some are lost due to the shepherds' negligence. But later you see it in verse 20. It explains how they were driven away. Let's take a look at them. Verse 20. Behold, I myself will judge between fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with side and shoulders, butted all the weak ones with your horns. Very interesting. Horns. Do shepherds have horns? And scattered them abroad. You pushed with the side and shoulders and your horns. So what is going on here? You can picture in the flock, there are some gentle ones. There are some hostile and belligerent ones. In the flock, the bullies like to push others with horns. The bullies are fat and strong. And this explains why the Lord said, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. So how do we understand this? Well, see, the Lord appointed his sub-shepherds from the flock, among the flock. The Lord appointed the leaders from the flock, right? Think about Samuel. The people wanted king, and the Lord appointed from the people. Think about the elders of Israel. The Lord appointed from the flock. And it's the same today. The Lord appoints the leaders, the elders, deacons, and ministers from the flock. So in Ezekiel 34, the sub-shepherds who are from the flock, who are supposed to take care of the flock, they ended up bullying others with their horns. Horns in the Bible symbolize power and authority. I will lift my horn. Right? The beast with the horn that has power. The Lord will judge them. You can see that the authorities were bullying them with the power they had. So the Lord, instead of these irresponsible shepherds, the Lord promised he will provide a good shepherd. Verse 23 is the highlight of the passage, which gives the ultimate solution to all the problems. He said, I will establish one shepherd over them. One shepherd. He shall feed them. Who is that? My servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken covenantal language here. I will be their God. And then there is a prince among them, David, a shepherd, who will bring the flock to me. So King David, right, was known as a shepherd boy, shepherd king. In Israel, because of King David, there's an imagery. The king of Israel is portrayed as a shepherd who lead the people of God to the Lord. But when Ezekiel wrote this, of course, King David was dead long ago. So when the Lord said, I will establish one shepherd, my servant David, this does not mean he will literally establish King David. This does not mean he will revive King David from the grave and then make him king, making a shepherd again. That's not what it means. It means he will establish someone that King David foreshadowed. King David was a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus as the son of David, his throne shall be established forever, the Lord promised to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 16. Or your Lord, your throne. The Lord said to my Lord, the great son of David, who will be eternal king. That's what this passage is talking about. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, those religious leaders, they wanted to lord over them, over the flock, and they didn't care about the flock. They exalted themselves to be above them, whereas this true shepherd, whom God sent, the true shepherd, he didn't exalt himself. He humbled himself to the point of death. And the most important point, that he became like one of us. Although he's the Son of God, he took our flesh and blood to be like one of us. And that explains why the Bible says he is the shepherd. At the same time, he's the Lamb of God. Listen to what Christ said about himself and how different he was from other shepherds. John chapter 10, verse 11 to 16. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. When you study the scripture, every word matters. The good shepherd. That shepherd was mentioned before somewhere. Ezekiel 34. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Whereas the hirelings, the hired hands, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf eats them, catches them, scatters them. The hirelings flees because he is a hirelings and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, he emphasizes again. I know the sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Dramatic contrast between the shepherds of Israel, irresponsible shepherds, and the true shepherd. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. So that means there are the lost ones out there, outside the flock, still. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Again, Ezekiel 34 language. One flock, one shepherd. So we can summarize like this. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, for what? To gather his people together. One shepherd, to have one shepherd over them. And as a good shepherd, again, the good shepherd wants to bring the flock together, not to scatter them. The hired hands do not care. If there's one lesson that we can get from this story, then that would be this. It's very simple. We as a flock, or sub-shepherds of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, we must desire what the true shepherd desires. That is the unity of the congregation, to gather them together so that we can stay together. Let us strive together. May the Lord, who sends his Spirit, also gives the strength to us that we may